today on Family Talk.
What if we could go to the other side of eternity, beyond the line of eternity, and just sit in the presence of God for 10 minutes, just 10 minutes, and then come back here and finish out the rest of our lives? What would it change about the rest of your lives if you had 10 minutes to do that? It would change everything.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk. The recorded voice that you just heard, that comment, was from Dr. Richard Swenson. He is one of the most interesting speakers I've ever heard, and you're going to enjoy him today in this recorded message. Can you imagine sitting and thinking about life on this earth from the other side of eternity? There is so much about God's universe that I would like to ask him, and someday maybe we'll get the opportunity. We're going to hear Dr. Swenson talk about that topic today. You know, I first became fascinated by astronomy when I was 10 years old. What amazed me there was the enormous size of the cosmos. Our Creator that we love and worship spun it all into existence with the power of His Word. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." Well, that is what Dr. Swenson is going to talk about today in his message. He's going to focus on the awesome power and creativity of God Himself. You can trust Him. You can follow Him. And His Word is infinite. Dr. Swenson worked in private practice as a physician for many years. He then took a position at the University of Wisconsin as an associate clinical professor, and he taught there for more than 15 years. But now he spends his time speaking and writing. And I want to tell you, he's written some very good books. In fact, you ought to write down the name of them because you can still track them down. He's the author of Margin, and I highly recommend that book. And he wrote a sequel to it called The Overload Syndrome. And those were bestsellers, and they will help readers find balance in our fast-paced society. So now here is Dr. Swenson with some awe-inspiring insights into our universe and into our very selves. I think you're going to enjoy this.
Our son Matt is a sophomore in college now. He's participating, as a matter of fact, in a program in Erie and Jaya. It's called EduVenture. It's a small, fairly new program, and academically it's really quite rigorous. The students probably write more papers in this semester than they do if they were at home, but the papers are written out in longhand, and they're written mostly by candlelight. Yet most of the learning, as you might imagine, doesn't happen in the classroom, but instead comes from living among Stone Age people and being fully immersed in a totally different perspective. Matt's only been able to call home once in the 3 months, and that happened to be last Saturday. First thing he mentioned was about the mail service. It's notoriously unreliable. Both Linda, my wife, and Lori, his girlfriend, have sent him dozens, even scores of letters. But for a time, Matt hadn't gotten any mail for about 5 weeks. Realizing in advance that this is going to be the situation, Linda and Lori numbered their letters sequentially so that Matt would know if he's getting his mail and if he's getting it in a timely fashion. And Matt says he got Lori's letter number 7, and then 5 weeks later he got her letter number 22. He didn't know what was in letters 8 through 21, but when he read letter number 22, he knew that everything was okay. You see, the details could be filled in later. This also strikes me as a picture of our lives here in the States. We've read the first 7 letters. We know where we've been. But we don't know yet what will be in letter number 8. Those things are the future. That's the tomorrow. And some of the days ahead look very challenging, I think, for us. Some of us worry about our kids, for example. How are they going to turn out? Some of us worry about college costs, and we hope desperately that Christ returns before we have to start paying for the university. Almost all of us worry about the future of medicine and the daunting challenges that face us there. But the good news is the good news. God's a postman. He's already delivered letter number 22 to each of us in his own handwriting. And this is what my letter said. He said, Dick, you'll be happy to know that all turns out just fine. God's not making specific promises to us that life might not be tough in the interim, but he does say this, you can trust me. You can trust my power. You can trust my care. It will all end just fine. The sovereignty of God and the rest of our lives. Perhaps by now some of you have seen this little piece of paper. We ran across it on the East Coast. I was speaking at a Christian conference center there, and I understand it's circulated around the United States at a certain degree, but there's surely some people here haven't seen it yet. And I want to share this with you because there's more tonnage of importance per square millimeter in this than you can possibly imagine. And this is what it says. Good morning, this is God. I will be handling all your problems today. I will not need your help, so have a good day. Think about it, memorize it, say it every morning before you get out of bed. I want to draw your attention to three passages of scripture. These will be fairly familiar to you. You can turn to them if you want, but I'll kind of summarize them fairly quickly. The first is Psalm 37, and I'll give you segments of verses 1 through 8. It says, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. Trust in the Lord and do good. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. Now, three times in those eight verses, it says, do not fret. What does that mean when it says, do not fret? It means, don't fret. Matthew 6:34 comes right after Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. 6:34 says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, what does that mean when it says, do not worry about tomorrow? What it means is, don't worry. Philippians 4:6, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. My question is, what does it mean when it says, don't be anxious? It means don't be anxious. Now, we read those passages and we said, aren't those comforting verses? Isn't that wonderful of God to provide us that encouragement right at our point of need? And we get up from our table, we walk out in the hall, and we start worrying, and we start fretting, and we start being anxious. We all do it. 100% of the people in this room do it. I do it too. And yet the scripture says, don't. Trust me. Be still. Wait patiently for me. The reason you worry is you don't know who I am. You just don't see clearly enough yet. There's a favorite verse of mine. It happens to be in 1 Corinthians 13. I don't know how this gets slid into the love chapter. But it says, now we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face. Now we know in part, but then we shall know, even as we also are known. What if we could go to the other side of eternity, beyond the line of eternity, and just sit in the presence of God for 10 minutes, just 10 minutes, and then come back here and finish out the rest of our lives? What would it change about the rest of your lives if you had 10 minutes to do that? It would change everything. The change would be total, and it would be complete. Well, as a matter of fact, the Almighty agreed to throw in a door prize for this group, this gathering, just a once-in-eternity opportunity here. If you look underneath your chairs, one of you has underneath there a 10-minute trip to heaven to spend that opportunity with God. As a matter of fact, somebody cheated. They checked their chair last night, and we already have a declared winner. His name is Joe. As a matter of fact, Joe's up there right now, and I want to tell you what Joe's going through. See, here's Joe sitting with God, and this is what he first says to God. God, I got 10 minutes here with you. Let me ask you this. Do you know everything? And God says, do you doubt it? Joe says, well, no, but how do you do it? Doesn't it get all kind of mixed up in your head? And God says, I think you're getting the two of us confused there, Joe. You do that a lot, you know. You really shouldn't do that so much. Let me put it this way. Things get mixed up and chaotic in your head a lot, but not in mine. Joe, my car never runs out of gas. I've never been late for a plane. And when you try to balance a checkbook every time you sit down to do it, I just can't bear to watch. So I distract myself by counting backwards to infinity. And Joe says, could I see answer some prayers? Sure. Well, when? I just did. What? I just answered prayers. Well, whose prayer did you answer? Well, actually, I answered 924,000 prayers just then. Half the time, people don't even know I'm doing it. I'm kind of tricky about some of this. A very high percentage of the prayers I answer are not even from adults. It's the kids, you know. They're the ones with the faith. When I answer their prayers, they usually see it right away. Well, what percentage of prayers that you just answered right now were from kids? Well, to be precise, 42.576884930059987296094325 that's enough, Joe says. That's enough. So Joe says, how many stars are there? God says, Joe, you only have 10 minutes. Well, how many galaxies then? Joe, you only have 10 minutes. But do you want to see me annihilate a galaxy? Oh, sure, cool. That'd be great. Well, you see that one way out there toward the edge of space? It hasn't been discovered yet. Nobody will even miss it. I just made it because I like the way it sparkled. Watch this. There, you can't see it now, right? How'd you do that? You don't want to know. You ever heard of antimatter? Joe says, I'm a physician, you know. God says, is that supposed to impress me? I'm a physician too. You want to compare credentials? Success rates? Diagnostic accuracy? Pick a topic, any topic. Joe, how much time do I have left? God, just a few seconds, but of course around here that could also mean 50 trillion years, but in your case it's just a few seconds. Joe, do you watch me all the time? Sure I do. Other people sometimes watch you too. You're really quite an entertaining fellow. Joe, medicine's getting kind of stressful these days. Yeah, so I noticed. What should I do about it? Well, Joe, I'm glad you asked. One thing that would help a lot is if you were to stop using me as a last resort. Everything you need, I've already provided. Trust me. Use my wisdom. Use my power. Pray. Joe, you really need to pray more. And love your patients. On your best days, I'll give you great joy. And on your worst days, I'll get you through it. I will always get you through it. God, one last question. How do I get down from here? Oh, I guess that was a silly question. Hi, honey. You'll never guess what just happened to me. What? You look sunburned. You've been golfing again. Oh, no, no, it's not golfing. Maybe you better sit down. I'll tell you all about it. But first, I think we better pray. If you were Joe, how would you walk the rest of your life? Might I suggest to you that everything that you do, every attitude that you had, every thought, every opinion about people and about time and about eternity and about human effort, it would change everything.
This is James Dobson again, and you're listening to Family Talk, and today we're featuring a presentation by Dr. Richard Swenson. He just finished an imaginary interchange between God and a physician. The doc was named Joe, and the purpose of sharing that conversation is to help us understand just how awesome God is and how much we need to learn to lean on Him for everything. We have much more to hear from Dr. Swenson today, so please stay with us. I do want to let you know that he's written a book that covers the same topic that we're hearing today. It's called More Than Meets the Eye. It's still in print, and this book will give you a new vision of who God is. We have a link to it in our broadcast page, at drjamesdobson.org. Now let's get back to Dr. Swenson's message as he continues to urge you and me to trust God completely.
Let's look at some things that we know in medicine and astronomy and in physics about the sovereignty of God. Look at the sun. If you took a pinhead and you heated the head of that pin to the temperature of the core of the sun, it would kill every person within 1,000 miles. Did you hear that? Now let me ask you this. Could Jesus swallow that pin? Could God swallow that pin? Yes. The answer to that question is yes. Now somebody that is that powerful, what does that tell you about your ability to trust him in terms of his ability to do things that we can't even begin to imagine? Everything that you see out there in science and astronomy and cosmology or in quantum mechanics or in the human body or biology or chemistry or physics, God's fingerprints are all over it, and he's teaching us that we can trust him. Let's look at black holes. Consider God and black holes. All galaxies have black holes. Our Milky Way galaxy apparently has many of them. The number of black holes in the universe might even be larger than the number of visible stars. To get a feeling for how intense a black hole is, to make a star into a black hole, you'd have to collapse the radius of our sun from 450,000 miles down to 2 miles. So it could fit in Manhattan, okay? Now, a sun that had that kind of density would weigh more per teaspoon than Mount Everest does. That's what a black hole would be. Now, what is the sovereign God's opinion of a black hole? This isn't just an academic exercise. This teaches us about God, and you better listen because you're going to need this God in your future. We all are going to need a God that has this kind of power, and we can trust it. Is God afraid of black holes? You know, as you get closer to a black hole, you finally get to the event horizon. It's called event horizon. If you step 1 inch further, then you're gone. Nothing can escape once it's entered the event horizon. Does God sometimes stand on the event horizon and sort of taunt a black hole? I mean, what happens if he sort of slips over the edge a little bit? Who wins in that tug of war? Does God win or does a black hole win? What's the answer to that question? God wins. The answer to that question is God wins. There is nothing in the universe, there's nothing in a created order that is more powerful than God. Well, think of that. It is an amazing thing. I just have so much fun thinking about God and how he bullies the universe. I mean, he just does whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it. Now, a God who's that powerful, can he handle your problems? Does he even need your help? Let's look at numbers. What kind of mathematician is God? Do you know that the number of electrons that pass through a filament of an ordinary light bulb in a minute? Did you get that? The number of electrons that pass through an ordinary filament of a light bulb in 1 minute equals the number of drops of water that flow over Niagara Falls in a century. Does God know how many electrons flow through a filament of a light bulb in 1 minute? He does. He counts them in his spare time. God has every, you know, there's 10 to the 80th elementary particles, protons, neutrons, electrons in the observable universe, and God has every one of them mapped. Every nanosecond, he nicknames them in his spare time. The talking number, they call the talking number, it's the number of words spoken by humans since the dawn of time. Did God hear all of those? It's 10 to the 16th. Did God hear all of those? Yes, he did. He's got a record of them, except for the sins he forgot or something, and then he forgot those. The Coney Island number, you know what the Coney Island number is? It's 10 to the 20th. It's the number of grains of sand on the Coney Island beach. 10 to the 20th. Does God know all those grains of sand? Yes, he does. The ice age number is 10 to the 30th. It's the number of snow crystals necessary to form the ice age. Does God do math at this level? Yes, he does. I want to talk about the human body a little bit, because my time is running out rapidly. The human body has 10,000 trillion trillion atoms. That's greater than the number of stars in the universe. There are more than a trillion of these atoms are replaced every 1 millionth of a second. Did you hear us? Every 1 millionth of a second in your body, more than 1 trillion atoms are replaced. Even though our bodies are indeed discrete units, we leak. Physically and metaphysically, we leak. In consequence, we share our physical existence with our neighbors, however remote. What happened to the trillion, trillion atoms in your body that turned over in the last 1 hour? In the last 1 hour, a trillion, trillion of atoms turned over. What happened to those atoms? Look at your neighbor. That's where they are. Your neighbor's got them now. These atoms float off into space, and then they roost in your neighbor for a while, red and yellow, black and white. They are me, and I am them. You might not like that, but it's the truth of the matter. Through common breathing, shared sneezes, love skin, the jet stream, flowing rivers, a myriad of other mixing devices, God brings us together constantly and continuously. I would not doubt that some of the atoms, some of the carbon atoms that resided in our bodies, in our childhood frames, are now doing their similar work within a body of a child in Mongolia. God has them all mapped. He knows where they are. He follows them around. Take a deep breath. Everybody take a deep breath. When you did that, you just inhaled 150 million air molecules that Jesus breathed. I didn't read this from a Christian book. I read it from a physics book. The math is very well worked out. See me afterwards. I can explain it to you. Take a deep breath again. 150 million air molecules that Jesus breathed. I choose to view this as Jesus doing mouth-to-mouth resuscitation on me all the time. My advice to you, if you want to do something, you don't want God to see you, you better hold your breath. Every cell has a trillion atoms, okay? You got the little tiny atoms, and then you got the cell. Every cell has about a trillion atoms. Well, we have anywhere from 10 to 100 trillion cells in the human body. And you guessed it, we're making over a trillion cells every day. The lining of your GI tract turns over about every 2 days. Faster if you eat Mexican food. The lining of our skin turns over every 2 to 4 weeks. And I read recently that the average human being sloughs like 40 pounds of skin in a lifetime. And that's why old sofas weigh so much. The red blood cells, you make 2 to 10 million red blood cells every second. If you take your red blood cells out and line them side by side, they go around the earth at the equator 4 times. You think God paused when he made the red blood cell? I think he did, knowing that his son would have to shed this for the remission of our sins. I did it to him. What do you think about that? I don't want to overly spiritualize that, but was one red blood cell like have my name on it? What's the divine value of one red blood cell? Is that sufficient to cover my sin? I think it is. This is the God that we serve, and this God is a capable God. And this is the kind of God who is not only powerful, he's not only precise, he's not only a mathematician. The level of precision in the created order is 10 to the 10th to the 127th. That's impossible. There are no numbers like that, 10 to the 10th to the 127th. This is the God that we serve.
Those are excellent questions there posed by Dr. Richard Swenson, our speaker for the day. Why don't we just trust him more? You've been listening to Family Talk, and I'm your host, Dr. James Dobson. Our guest today has painted an amazing picture of an incredible God that we serve. I tell you, that imagery there really moves me. Can't you just see God on the throne, orchestrating all the major events of history, holding the powers of the universe in his hand, and then in his spare time counting all the atoms in a human breath and grains of sand at the seashore and all of the snowflakes that fall in a given year and the number of red blood cells in the human body? Dr. Swenson gave us so many illustrations and things to think about there. Can you imagine God himself walking up to the edge of an immense black hole and laughing at it? You know, our God is powerful, and if he's a friend of ours, why should we worry? He has it all under control, and he will see us through it. If we just hold on to our faith, he promises never to leave us. Roger, you've been listening to this message today. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. Share your thoughts with us and then close out the broadcast.
Well, you know, Doctor, it really is amazing to think that God created everything, and yet he cares about every hair on the head of every person who has ever lived. In my case, maybe not so many hairs. But it's so important to know that we can trust him with every minute of our lives. Friend, if you're listening today and you want to know about this incredible God who knows everything about you and loves you anyway and sent his son to pay the penalty for your sin on the cross, just give us a call. You can call 877-732-6825. We have a whole staff of people here who would love to pray with you or just talk with you. That's why we're here. Again, our number is 877-732-6825. Also, if you'd like to learn more about the things that Dr. Swenson was sharing today, just go to drjamesdobson.org and you can click on today's broadcast for the link to Dr. Swenson's book, More Than Meets the Eye. That's drjamesdobson.org is where you'll find that information. I'm Roger Marsh. Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to come back again next time when we will explore this topic from a different angle with Del Tackett talking about the evidence for a literal six-day creation. You don't want to miss that fascinating conversation coming up right here next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.